Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. On today's show, state legislators say that Michigan's laws dealing with paternity need to be updated. We'll talk about what the problems are. Also, an independent study out comparing the two competing plans to build a second bridge between Detroit and Windsor. I'll talk to one of the report's authors to find out which plan is better. But first, peace is hard. That's what President Obama repeatedly declared today while addressing the United Nations, with the issue of Palestinian statehood taking center stage. To talk about the president's speech and how Mr. Obama's domestic plans are likely to fare in Washington, I'm joined by 8th District U.S. Congressman Mike Rogers. He's also the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, when it comes to Palestinian statehood, Texas Governor Rick Perry yesterday said, quote, simply put, we would not be at the precipice of such a dangerous move if the Obama policies in the Middle East weren't naive, arrogant, and misguided. Mitt Romney, meanwhile, slamming President Obama's handling of the Palestinian statehood issue, saying it's a, quote, unmitigated diplomatic disaster. Are they going too far in describing Mr. Obama's policies in this way?
Well, unfortunately, no. This, you know, they tried this once before. It was under the first President Bush, and he nipped it in the bud before it ever got this far. And he used American prestige and American influence to do that. And unfortunately, when there is confusion in the international policy and a lack of, or at least an appearance of weakness overseas, this is exactly what happens. And it's caused a whole host of other problems. Turkey is now turning away from the United States and has thrown Israel, its embassy out and putting pressure on the UN. And there's a lot that goes into this. It's just about embarrassing the United States. So unfortunately, I mean, this is a soup that the president has made, and I wish he had taken a stronger tact earlier.
President Obama today briefly mentioned this hostile Middle Eastern region, but why doesn't he essentially, or why does he ignore all these self-declared enemies of Israel? The Syrians, there's Hezbollah in Lebanon. We've got Iran building a nuclear weapon and threatening to wipe Israel off the map. We see the Israeli embassy overrun in Cairo by mobs. As you mentioned, Turkey also now making threatening gestures towards Israel. Why isn't the president addressing these things in a straightforward way?
Well, you know, that is, I think, the million-dollar question. It's frustrating, and we're seeing this rise in anti-Israeli sentiment. Now, it's what's really dangerous in Egypt is you have whole political parties now that are organizing themselves, and one of their big platforms is to end the peace treaty with Israel. So you have that. You have the Turkey issue. And I think the president made some very serious mistakes up front when he tried to put the Palestinians on the same level as the state of Israel. And I just think that was a serious mistake that has progressively gotten worse. And he tried to say, he would condemn certain things that Israel was doing in defending themselves and confused that with what the Palestinians were doing and what the folks in the Gaza Strip were doing when they were firing rockets at innocent Israelis. And so he got all that mushed up. And when he did that, he inflamed those who believed that this was their opportunity to take advantage of a confused American international policy. And again, this is what happens. You see this lack of control as they march to the United Nations to seek recognition with no agreements for peace going forward. And that's what's so dangerous about this.
I mean, some view his speech today as somewhat pro-Israeli, yet just several months ago he called on Israel to pull back to these indefensible 1967 border lines. What exactly is happening here today? I mean, is this some kind of a political gesture, this speech, or is he somehow changing his mind?
It's absolutely political. You know, he is absolutely losing the faith of pro-Israel Americans, and there's a lot of them, and they don't happen to be just Jewish. And I think because of that, he's decided he has to make the political calculation that he was leaning toward the Palestinians. Now he better bring it back a little bit. My fear is it may be too late the day or at least the week before they're trying to get a vote in the United Nations for recognition. And that's, again, that confusing, conflicted policy causes real problems for us. This is where it really counts to have a president that is very clear in his foreign policy. And, you know, even by a speech today, you still don't really know at the end of the day, where is he? And Israel doesn't know. They know they're in a really tough neighborhood, and they are under an assault I've never quite seen before, certainly in my time here. And they turn around and wonder, will the United States be there if this thing goes all the heck in a handbasket? And the answer is they don't know. And they're going to have to take steps to defend themselves, and that whole calculus only adds to the confusion.
Finally, when it comes to this particular subject, the Arab Spring in general appears now to be a very unpredictable situation. We don't know where these countries are going to go from this point, who's going to take leadership, and what kind of approach they'll have towards the U.S. and towards Israel. Is the president handling these revolutions as they're occurring in the right way? Should he be more involved? Should the U.S. be more involved? Or is there even anything we can do to kind of manage these revolutions in a way where they don't end up turning against us?
I think that, listen, you know, I would always take freedom over a dictator any day of the week. I think in the short term it causes problems. In the long term it can only benefit freedom-loving peoples everywhere, including the United States. That being said, the United States does need to be engaged in a place like Egypt for the diplomatic surge to try to help the secular movement that caused the revolution, if you will, in Egypt to get some political roots, because there are organizations, the Muslim Brotherhood, and there are lots of questions about the Muslim Brotherhood's intentions that are gaining hold because they're the most organized, they have the most political operatives, and that gives them an unfair advantage. And where the United States ought to be taking an interest is with these groups and helping them be able to get organized, teach them how to run campaigns, if you will, and get organized as a party and fight to get seats in the parliament so that you can continue what the secular folks in Egypt started to do, and not allow those political organizations that are antithesis to that to get hold in the parliament. That's where I think the United States can play an important role and should play a role. And I just don't see that kind of leadership coming out of the administration. They're just confused. They were for change in Libya, but they came late to the party in Syria, and they're now not sure who they're going to be for in Egypt. That confusion is harmful to our image overseas and our ability to impact and influence the outcome.
I'm talking to 8th District U.S. Congressman Mike Rogers. So when it comes to the domestic side of things, the deficit reduction plan out this week, of course, it does involve tax increases. As we know, House Republicans have said no taxes whatsoever. Are we essentially now looking at another debate that's going to turn out the same way the debt ceiling debate was, where both sides don't really budge and we end up with nothing?
Well, Mike, I hope that doesn't happen. But I look at it this way. I don't look at that the president's proposal as a Republican, or I don't think, or Democrat, or in between. If it is in fact a jobs plan, then people who provide jobs should be singing in the streets and saying, "Finally, we've got something we can get our arms around." Here's the problem, and really, you know, the unemployed. I certainly feel for their plight. But you can't write that bill for them. This has to be a jobs bill, meaning people who provide jobs have to have some incentive to get back in hiring people. They're not. Matter of fact, the business community has rejected it pretty soundly and said this is not going to help us. It won't help hiring. So it is really a political plan to get the president through the next 14 months. That's what's so unfortunate about it. Mm-hmm. And if we couldn't answer the question, the business community, and there are Republicans and Democrats in the business community, if they weren't for it, boy, we're in trouble before we got started, and clearly that's what's happened, and that's why I'm so disappointed in where we're at today.
Finally, the Congress is now getting a 12% approval rating in a recent New York Times CBS poll. Is there a potential then of negative political consequences if House Republicans don't find some kind of an agreement when it comes to these plans the president is presenting?
Well, and here's the thing. The Democrats control two-thirds of all the power here in Washington, D.C. They control the Senate and the White House. And to put out a bill that was not even remotely negotiated with the Republicans or, again, the job providers, I think it's going to have blowback for them. And a low approval rating is going to hurt Democrats as much as Republicans. And at the end of the day, people want to get back to work, period, pure and simple. These folks want to get back to work. They want the economy to start going. They got kids to put in college. They have bills to pay, car payments, all of that. And at the end of the day, if there's nothing sitting on the table that does that for them, they're going to be mad at everybody, and I argue rightly so. So hopefully we're going to work through this. The problem, and I think the disappointment is, and I think that's why you see the president's poll numbers plummeting, is this was a bill that was never negotiated up front. The business community doesn't like it, and he calls it a jobs bill. Well, if the people who aren't going to hire people don't like it, it's not a jobs bill. It's a political bill. And that's where I think people are starting to get frustrated. And certainly that's what I'm hearing from folks back home.
8th District U.S. Congressman, Republican Mike Rogers, thank you very much for joining me.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me.